Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed Bondrick.
Hey, good to be here. Is this mic on?
That's on. There you go. Look, hey, pull it up. Look. You're going to make it bang.
Squirt, squeak, squeak. There we go. Yes.
Yeah, you did it without making a big noise.
Or the sproinging.
That's right, which we get quite often, right? We're not ready when we open up the doors. Hey, a big week ahead of us,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of big months, and of course,
and a short week too. By the way,
yes,
yeah.
Happy Labor Day.
We have to cram more in.
Today is the 1st of September, so I think we've got Congressman Tim Walberg calling in second half of the hour. Hopefully,
he said he's camping, so let's see how that goes.
Maybe he doesn't have signal, but we'll see.
Hey, we've got to talk from him before from his fishing shanty out on the ice.
Yes,
you know, so,
yes, yeah. Indeed. So, well, what we do on The Drift every Saturday is go over the news that we put on thedailydrift.com.
It's the news you need to know.
Yes, www.thedailydrift.com. I put news from around the world, across the country, and right here at home in our state. So check it out and get the news that you're not getting anywhere else on the mainstream media. And let's take care of a little business.
Hey.
Fall is here, and you're going to have that furnace kicking on before you know it. So you might want to get...
Wait. Fall's not here.
Fall's here, dude. I can smell it.
September 22nd.
I can smell it from a mile away.
Okay, carry on. I'm sorry.
Dalton Environmental Cleaning can do your ductwork. And you should get it done before the heaters start kicking on, right? So when you get your furnace done, get your ductwork done as well. 1-877-DALTONS, D-A-L-T-O-N-S. That's 1-877-325-8667. Or you can go to DaltonEnvironmentalCleaning.com and tell them that you saw it in the Current newspaper or that you heard it here on the Drift Radio Show. And I'll give you a little plug for Ed. Folks, we need some help advertising in the Current. If you love this conservative newspaper and you own a business, advertise with us because we are helping you and you can help us.
Be a patron.
And be a patriot because there's not very many conservative, patriotic newspapers like this one. Very few.
Yep.
And we're one of the only ones that has managed to grow throughout this last recession, and we need your help to keep in business. So advertise with us like Dalton's does. 1-877-DALTONS. Get those ductwork cleaned. Okay, so the big story this week, not the Nothing Burger story in my book, and we've been hearing it, and I'm getting sick of it.
I'm trying to guess which one you're talking about. There's so many.
McCain.
Oh, okay.
Right? First, let me say thank you, Mr. McCain, for your service as a veteran, as I respect all veterans, right? Thank you very much. And that's all I'm going to say about Mr. McCain, because, frankly, if he were a supporter of Donald Trump, you wouldn't have seen word boo this week about Mr. McCain or his funeral. They probably wouldn't have even laid him in state if he were a Trump supporter. But because all of a sudden John McCain dies and he hated Trump right to the bitter end.
Then Obama goes to speak at his funeral.
Obama's speaking at his funeral. The Bushes are speaking. Everybody loves John McCain. Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, oh, he's the greatest guy. Let's name a building after him the whole night. You know what? If he was a Trump supporter, Mr. Schumer, you wouldn't say word boo about John McCain because you called him a racist when he ran for president. So all of a sudden he's a hero now because he doesn't like Donald Trump.
The man knew he – I'm sorry. I will speak ill of the dead. I speak ill of him while he's alive. You know, there's
I certainly did.
Yeah. And the guy took too long to step down from office.
Yeah, that alone.
You know, right, you know, there.
You are not doing the best for your country. If you're sick, you're at home, you can't perform the job duties of your office, and you're sitting at home on whatever care that you need just to screw over the president of the United States, and you're screwing over the people that elected you.
Yeah.
He was the guy that campaigned to the state of California, I will get rid of Obamacare. And when it came time to repeal Obamacare because it was a Trump agenda item, he said, no, I'm not going to vote to repeal it.
And he wouldn't
it.
Step down, so a real Republican could have been replacing him to vote
No hero in my mind. Thank you for your service, sir. But you know what? You undid any goodness that you've done in your life by being, A, the guy that pushed the Steele dossier, the guy that's worked with the Democrats, the guy that's done everything to screw over the United States of America in the last few years. So, well, Mr. McCain, wherever you're at, in heaven or wherever, I believe everyone goes to heaven. Some people get the worst part of heaven. He's probably having coffee with Benedict Arnold right now. That's what I'm thinking.
Che Guevara.
he's hanging out with Che Guevara. Yeah.
Looking, that's not in heaven, dude. Let me clue you in.
They're picking pineapples, if you get my Little Nicky reference, right? Derek, Little Nicky, ever see that movie?
I've only seen part of it, but I don't remember that reference.
John, go pick your pineapple. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. Anyways, I don't like speaking ill of the dead either, so I don't really want to go too much into
just
that.
Just Google John McCain, USS Forrestal.
Yeah. So I did want to get to this first track, though, because here was some – the economy's booming. Do you agree? I think everybody –
booming. Yeah. Are you kidding me? We can't find enough people to work at our plant. We know other people who can't – other plants
signs
that can't
everywhere.
Find. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So the Democrats, of course, have nothing to run on because things are just so outrageously good when it comes to the economic portion of our
run on screwing it up.
Exactly.
Monkeying it. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I?
Oh, dear. Oh, my gosh. You're a racist. What?
Dump button, Derek.
We'll get
dump
to
button.
That. We'll get to that, hopefully. But I want to play this track here because this is what the Democrats like to do, right? The news is so good. It's indisputable that the economy is going good. So Chuck Schumer and the Democrats have to come up with another way and say, we're going to get another good GDP report coming up here. Let's find a way to redefine what good is, shall we? And so I've got a track here of Chuck Schumer and his minions looking to put some legislation. Now, it's not going anywhere, but it's their way of boning things up, right? Derek, you got track one ready? Now listen to what Chuck Schumer wants to do about GDP.
Too often when we hear that GDP is rising and the economy is booming, as the president claims, there's an assumption that all Americans are reaping the benefit equally when, in fact, wages for the middle class remain flat and income inequality gets worse. To this end, Senator Heinrich and I and many others will be introducing new legislation today. And you'll hear more about it from Martin, that requires new income growth data to be published alongside quarterly GDP reports. For too long, we've relied on GDP alone as a bellwether for how Americans are faring in the economy, when we should be looking as well at income data across the economic spectrum. Americans' working families deserve the full picture when the federal government publishes data showing how the economy is doing, especially with the quarterly numbers. This legislation cuts right to the heart of the matter, seeks to present a clear and accurate picture of who the economy is really working for. So far, corporations are cashing in, American workers are falling behind. We Democrats are committed to fix that.
We Democrats are, you know, what world is this man living in?
Really?
Wages aren't going up. Hello. They're going up for the first time ever, Mr. Schumer.
Yeah.
Take the blinders of hate.
Because we're reaping the benefits of everything that Obama did for 8 years. It's finally coming to pass.
Oh, my gosh. I just, you know, folks, election is coming. And if you really want to make things better, let's get the rest of these morons out of Washington, D.C. And that includes Debbie Stabenow.
Oh, get rid of Debbie Stabenow.
You know, and that's something we can do here in the state of Michigan. Make sure you're voting for John James.
Yeah.
Take a page out of the Trump book. What have you got to lose? Debbie has done nothing but side with that moron, Chuck Schumer. They want to take away our tax relief because it's peanuts.
Re-regulate, increase regulations.
Yeah. And just
send jobs back overseas.
I'm mortified. Yep. We're going to have to take a break just because I need to catch up. Go ahead. You have something.
I was going to tell you that a couple years ago, my son showed me a video, and as a woman was talking about storytelling, and it wasn't the focus of what he wanted me to see, but she told a story where she was a doctor, a renowned doctor, and she was retired. And early on, when she was an intern, they had somebody they were doing chemo on and radiation, and they sent the guy home to die. They couldn't do anything more for him. And 2 years later, he comes back, and he's cured. He's alive. They thought, well, what happened to you? He says, well, I prayed and God healed me. And it's, yeah, whatever, you know. So they all these doctors convinced themselves that the chemo had actually kicked in after not being used for 2 years. That's what the lady said. She says, I couldn't believe we were so stupid that our belief system would not let us believe anything except that, well, maybe something the chemo did and the radiation did actually took effect, even though they sent the guy home to die.
Huh?
Okay, so now she realizes, she's come to the realization, it was something else. Let's say God, okay, that healed the guy. I think of that every time I hear the Democrats say, oh, yeah, the economy's booming. Everything that Obama was doing for 8 years has finally kicked in.
I mean, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Crazy? Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know. Hey, so we've got one of our listeners didn't want to talk. Listener Marv wanted to know if any Vietnam War POWs attended John McCain's funeral. I thought I heard this morning that there were six guys that had been in the Hanoi Hilton with him showed up at the funeral. Don't know their names or anything else.
Interesting that you didn't hear their names alongside all the politicians that
right,
were there.
Exactly. Those are the guys that should have been getting a little mm-hmm. airtime, right? So I don't know, Marv, of any guys. But Don Miller, who's a longtime listener of the show, sent me some interesting facts, and I think I would rather cover this than anything else with Mr. McCain. The Vietnam Memorial Wall. There are 58,267 names now listed on that polished black wall, including those added in 2010. The names are arranged in the order in which they are taken from us by date, and within each date, the names are alphabetized. It's been 36 years since the last casualty. The first known casualty was Richard B. Fitzgibbon of North Weymouth, Massachusetts. The Department of Defense listed him as having been killed on June 8, 1956. His name is listed on the wall with that of his son, Lance Corporal Richard B. Fitzgibbon III, who was killed 9 years later on September 7th, 1965. There are three sets of fathers and sons on the wall. 8,283 were just 19 years old. 39,996 on the wall were just 22 or younger. Five soldiers on the wall were 16 years old. 12 were 17 years old. One soldier, PFC Dan Bullock, was 15 years old. Now, I imagine these kids lied to get into the service, right?
Mm-hmm.
Must have been a big kid for them. Who knows?
Back it happened in days. World War II regularly.
Yeah. 997 soldiers were killed on their first day in Vietnam. Isn't that sad? You know, mm-hmm. walk off the plane and didn't make it. It's just terrible. 1,448 soldiers were killed on their last day in Vietnam. That's tragedy. Terrible, right? 31 sets of brothers are on the wall. 31 sets of parents lost two of their sons. And one of the oddest statistics are 54 soldiers attended Thomas Edison High School in Philadelphia.
Hmm.
All from one school. Pretty crazy, right?
I think I remember reading about that, yeah.
Yep.
Isn't there a football team that all signed up?
There is
a high school football team. They all signed up and they all
might be
on
this
the wall.
One, the Buddies of Midvale, Leroy Tafoya, Jimmy Martinez, Tom Gonzalez were all boyhood friends, lived on three consecutive streets in Midvale, Utah, 5th, 6th, and 7th Avenues. They all played ball. Oh, that's not the football team. All played ball together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting that, you know, I've been to the wall once when I was in Washington, D.C., twice now, actually. And it's very, very moving. So, you know, take a few minutes today. And here's the thing. You know, we treat our veterans, I think, better today than we ever did. But there were a lot of years where we didn't treat our veterans very well.
Mm-hmm. And, when we were told to don't wear our uniforms when we come home.
Yeah, and that moves me because when I hear about our guys, well, we're going to have to take a break. So, Derek, when we come back, we will move on to something different. That doesn't touch me. And
I will say a Google search shows no POWs. It doesn't say they didn't attend.
Yeah. You might want to try DuckDuckGo because who knows what Google's doing.
Yeah,
this,
there
right?
you go. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll see all of you on the other side of this short break. See you in a minute.
Hello, Wham! Listeners. I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of art, it's about civilization, yours.
Life's too short to clean your own house. Live your life and let the cleaning authority do the house cleaning work. They spotlessly clean your bathrooms, living rooms, bedrooms, kitchens, and dining rooms. The cleaning authority will clean your entire home top to bottom so that you can get on with the important things and enjoy your life. Why have a second job on the weekend? Let the cleaning authority do the work you don't want to do. It all starts with a free home estimate and then the deep cleaning and follow-up detail rotation of the rooms in your house. Call them today and find out how to get your home cleaned and spotless at a super low cost to you. Do you enjoy scrubbing soap stains out of the shower, cleaning the toilets, cleaning the grout in the tub? No, you don't. Let the professionals at the Cleaning Authority do all that for you. And they do garages, storage areas, dryer vents, appliances in and out of the house, window and gutter cleaning. Call today for the Cleaning Authority's complete list of services. Call 734-544-8900. Call the Cleaning Authority today at 734-544-8900.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning to Catch Our Drift here at Wham! Talk 1600. You can call into the show, 822-1600.
Well, once again,
734. Sorry.
Yeah.
A little off.
The DuckDuckGo search showed that it didn't show that any POWs went to the funeral, but it did not show, and I think this is important, that any of the POWs distanced themselves from McCain. This article I was looking at said basically they saw him as a brother and remained as friends throughout his life. It doesn't say any of them showed up at the funeral, but it doesn't show that they distanced themselves. So
right.
That may answer the real question.
Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting to know what a lot of veterans think. And if you're a veteran, you want to call in and give your thoughts on it, that's fine. But, you know, I would think a lot of veterans don't want to even touch it. They'll just leave sleeping dogs lie and let it go. And speaking of veterans, our annual Vietnam Veterans of America annual pig roast is coming up on September 9th. So that's going to be like a week from tomorrow, Sunday, September 9th, noon to 4 p.m. at VFW Post 423, which is on 3230 South Wagner Road. That's the Charles S. Kettles Chapter 310 of the Veterans of America. So they're going to have all kinds of food there, and they're going to be raising money for Dawn Farms residents. There'll be some music. A helicopter will be there. Military vehicles will be there. There'll be some bucket drawings and military merchandise for sale. Ticket prices, adults, $10. Kids under 6, free. Kids 6 to 12, $5. So you can reach Don Miller, 734-864-2819. That's 734-864-2819. That's Don Miller. Don's a good guy. He always sends us his stuff. And I always say I'm going to make it, and I've never been able to make it. Maybe next Sunday I can try and get out there, I hope. But anyways, raise some money, and you can celebrate and talk to our Vietnam vets, too.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay, so I wanted to talk. I saw this. I put it up on the Daily Drift, and if you're not going to the Daily Drift, you should. It's
the news you need to know.
Yeah, there you go. About walls, because we've got, you know, number one, I always go back to the election. Congress, Senate, make sure you're voting this year. If you're not registered, please get registered. And don't just vote. Campaign a little bit this year. Talk to your friends. Talk to your family. Mm-hmm. tell them the reasons why they should probably vote Republican. I know not all the Republicans are good because we've got a bunch of never-Trumpers and elitists on that side too, but they're better than the Democrats by that much. So make sure you're working on it, because one of the things that we have to have is funding for the wall, right? And were you giving me an update?
No.
Oh, you did. Anyways, funding for the wall is important, and I always get people say, oh, they're just going to put up a ladder and they'll just go right over the wall. Well, I wanted to say, listen to a Border Patrol agent. Derek, you got track two? Go ahead and run it.
What does it mean and what does it take to secure the border? More people, more technology, maybe a border wall, like the one between the United States and Mexico. It's been a subject of nearly a million news articles and hundreds of speeches. But do walls really work? And if so, how? As a Border Patrol agent, I can tell you, walls do work. Before any physical infrastructure existed on our 2,000-mile-long border with Mexico, vast areas were wide open, totally vulnerable. Today's threats, like terrorism, drug trafficking, and human smuggling, demand sensible and proven responses. Consider San Diego. In 1992, agents in San Diego sector apprehended more than 560,000 illegal migrants. That was only along a 60-mile stretch, just 3% of the entire U.S.-Mexico border. But that stretch of border didn't have much in the way of infrastructure. There were few barriers, patrol roads, lights or cameras. There weren't enough agents. 20 years ago in Yuma, Arizona, the Yuma sector was overrun by illegal migrants and drug smugglers. In 2005, each day averaged 800 arrests and a seizure of more than 100 pounds of drugs. Just as with San Diego, Yuma did not have the infrastructure or agents needed to secure the border. In 1996, and again in 2006, bipartisan legislation authorized the U.S. government to build border barriers. And once built, the barriers made a world of difference. By 2010, apprehensions in San Diego had fallen from 500,000 to just 68,000, an 87% reduction. In Yuma, the story was much the same, year-over-year reductions in border apprehension, thanks in part to investments in border barriers. And this infrastructure proved to be good for our environment and our communities, too. In areas where we constructed barriers, deployed more agents, and gained back control of the border, natural habitats damaged by illegal migration have recovered. Piles of discarded debris disappeared. Neighborhoods and businesses replaced what was once lawless wasteland. A wall works best as part of what we call a border enforcement zone, which includes technology and patrol roads. Border enforcement zones can make a huge difference, but a safe and secure border ultimately depends on men and women in uniform, on patrol, who faithfully enforce our nation's laws and ensure our national security.
Good. Build a wall, folks. Mm-hmm. And the only way you're going to get your wall is if we retain control of the House and maybe even increase it and get control of the Senate with 60 votes, which means we have to really work hard to get 60 votes. Are we going to get there? Probably not. But so, it would certainly be nice to be closer, right?
So this wall would go along the northern border of Mexico from, say, the eastern part of Texas, head west until it gets to California, and then go north up along the California border. Is that right?
Well, yes, that could happen.
Because
right?
We need to contain the contagion in California. We just need to – it's been infected. It's like a – like having your hand infected with MRSA, and it's just so bad you can't do anything. You're just going to have to amputate.
Yeah. Well, you can build that wall, right, and and get this under control, or that's the future, right? Mm-hmm. Another wall that goes from Mexico all the way up to Oregon or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe Oregon. There's a go, too. I don't know. But, yeah, folks, that's why it's so doggone important, this election. It's a midterm election. And the Democrats think they're still going to get their blue wave. I don't see that coming. But I'm not sure I see a big red wave either. I would love to, but I think a lot of people are taking it for granted. Trump's doing good. I'm not going to worry about voting.
Mexican standoff?
Well, we're going to have to talk with Congressman if he calls in, too, a little bit. You know what I mean? Mexico deal this week, winning.
Yep.
The winning continues no matter what the media is telling you.
I heard all the tacos we can eat.
Nice. All right, we'll see all of you on the other side. Take care.
If you get to hear me now, the excuses are so speak out your mouth now.
People are always on the move, driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Theron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. Former presidents, friends, foes, and family all came together in Washington's National Cathedral this morning to say goodbye to Senator John McCain.
We gather here to mourn the passing of American greatness. The real thing, not cheap rhetoric from men who will never come near the sacrifice he gave so willingly, nor the opportunistic appropriation of those who live lives of comfort and privilege while he suffered and served.
McCain's daughter, Meghan, McCain's rival for the GOP presidential nod in 2000, was one of two former presidents to eulogize the Arizona Republican.
For John and me, there was a personal journey, our hard-fought political history. Back in the day, he could frustrate me, and I know he'd say the same thing about me. But he also made me better.
George W. Bush, former President Obama, also eulogized his one-time opponent. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Hi, it's Mike Maloney from Convenience Auto Service. When you need car, truck, or SUV service, you're looking for someone you can trust. I invite you to check online, and you'll see that Convenience Auto has the best overall reputation in town. We have hundreds of five-star reviews and accolades for great service, friendly people, and fair prices. Convenience Auto was just voted the best car repair in Washtenaw County for the second time. Convenience Auto repairs all makes and models. Oil changes, brakes, suspension, exhaust, air conditioning, electrical, even engine problems. We've got you covered. We offer discounts to U of M students and staff, and we have a complimentary shuttle service. Check out both Ann Arbor locations, on Liberty Street at West Stadium Boulevard and on Jewett Street near South Industrial, just 2 minutes from the Big House. Find us on the web 24/7 at convenienceauto.com. That's convenienceauto.com. Call today.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All WellBridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Evelyn Danielson from Brighton.
When I got into my room, there were happy faces welcoming me. The PT people there peeked around the door the next morning and said, "You're going to walk with us." And I said, "Oh, no, I can't." But I did. They don't push you. They lead you very kindly. And the next thing you know, you're doing it. They have a wonderful attitude.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, WellBridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. In studio with me, Ipsy Ed Bondarenka.
Hi.
Hey. So before we jump into our callers, because they've been waiting so patiently, let's take care of a little business. Diggett Services LLC, complete mini excavator and skid steer services. Mike Kuzma is a great guy, 248-789-7619. He's got top-notch, brand-new equipment. He's good at what he does. He can get you a great price, and he'll give you an estimate. Call Mike Kuzma, 248-789-7619. That's Diggett Services LLC, complete mini excavator and skid steers. He's got great equipment.
If you didn't get that, look up the ad in the Current.
Yeah, or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Check it out. Check out all of our advertisers. Call them up and say, hey, saw you in the Current.
Yes.
Give me an estimate. What kind of business do you think? Just thank them.
Just thank them for advertising.
For advertising in the Current, because you know what? This newspaper doesn't exist without them.
Yep.
So
all that calendar stuff, community news, absolutely. Pictures of your kids. Yep.
Yep, absolutely. Well, let's take a call from Chris in Philadelphia, who's been waiting patiently. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Gary. How are you?
Good, good. So you wanted to talk about Maxine Waters?
It's Maxine Waters, but where she gives a symbol for Panther power at the Aretha Franklin.
Oh, did you? I didn't see.
Yeah,
I didn't
the raised fist. Is that it?
No, I did not see that. Is that what really? Yeah. She the Black
she
Panther.
Like her, she put her fist up against the chest, and that's the Black Panther symbol.
Oh,
yeah. It's kind of on the news. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but yeah, it's kind of like. Like, what's this double? Why would they be able to get away with these kind of things? Why?
Yeah, well, here's the other thing. Why was Louis Farrakhan at the funeral? Who invites a guy like Louis Farrakhan to your funeral?
You invite
really?
Yourself.
Actually, it was Farrakhan. It was Jesse Jackson and what's that other guy's name? Sharpton?
Yeah.
And then Clinton right next to that.
Yeah.
Like, really?
It's the
wow.
Scoping out Ariana as she walked by, too. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Not that I watched much of it, but, you know, it's like.
I saw that clip.
Oh, yeah, I saw that as well. And but at least Bill's consistent, right? The old guy's consistent.
He's still alive, yeah. And, you know.
He's still got
in
it.
In my opinion.
might be sporting a little Viagra or something, but he's still hanging out there. Well, good for you, Bill. I'm glad you still have that urge to ogle at the ladies.
Yeah, go back. He's never going back to the Oval Office again.
That's right. Thank goodness.
No more tricks in the Oval Office.
Yeah, I didn't pay much attention to the Aretha stuff. I mean, I saw a little bit every morning while I was drinking my coffee before I went to work and saw that the people lined up, and people loved Aretha. I mean, she was really awesome and a phenomenal talent. If you ever, besides the Motown stuff, she was getting into the opera stuff, and I had no idea.
The beautiful voice.
Oh, my gosh.
Beautiful person, but just. You know, I mean, the way they portrayed it, it was totally political. Totally.
Yeah. And that's disappointing.
One-sided thing.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like Meghan McCain just short time ago using her father's time for eulogy to bash Trump. Meghan, what is wrong with you, woman? You're going to take your father's funeral and turn it into a bashing of Trump?
It's widespread. It's like all over. It's some kind of disease.
It's called horrible, progressivism.
Horrible. Yeah,
I live in Philadelphia, and I see the sanctuariness, the sanctuary city problems, the tent cities, the disgust, the feces all over, the needles, it's everywhere, all over the city. It's disgusting.
So,
in the last 5 years, it's gotten even worse. It's horrible.
Wait a minute. Did you vote?
We're actually turning into San Francisco slowly.
Really? Did you vote in the last in the 2016 election?
Since then, 10 cities have grown, I would say, by at least 75%.
No, but did you vote in the 2016 election?
Absolutely.
Well, that's odd. So you voted for Obama, huh?
No.
Well, I don't understand this because I'm given to understand that there were no votes recorded for Trump in the 2016 election
in
Philadelphia.
That's right. They said that, right?
Yeah.
I forgot that.
One vote for Trump in Philadelphia, and you're telling us you did.
No. You're, all right. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, so you're saying Philadelphia is also, because of the homelessness and the sanctuary city nonsense, it is as bad as San Francisco now.
It's getting just as bad.
Oh, my God.
And then they imposed this soda tax. Where when you buy a 20-ounce soda, it costs you $3 or $4. And then they take that money, the city takes that money, supposedly for the school district, and then all of a sudden $33 million is missing. From what? The soda tax. Ooh, who got it? Mr. Kenny, the mayor.
Who did
the little dance
when
he said they were sanctuary city.
What's the chance of him being unelected this next time around?
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, God. Well, you have my sympathies, Chris, for living there or having to live there. So
try and vote this time.
Actually, I left the city, and I live maybe 40 miles out of the city now.
Oh, okay.
A little town called Pennsburg, and it's quiet, and nobody bothers me, and it's great out here.
That's good. Well, you moved out to the right area. So, well, Chris, great hearing from you, man. Call in again.
Sure will.
All right.
Thanks,
take care, brother. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so let's take a call from Alex in Plymouth. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gary. Hey, Ed.
Hey.
Good to be on.
Yep.
I just got to talk a little bit about John McCain. I want to point out the fact...
Uh-oh. You're breaking up on us, Alex.
Oh, there I want to point out the fact that he ran around on his ex-wife, his recently disfigured wife, when he got back from Vietnam, and dumped her and married some hot-looking babe, younger.
Wealthy.
10 years younger. Wealthy, yeah.
The
he
lady.
Was also, by the numbers, he was a member of the Keating Five, you know, that Lincoln Savings and Loan debacle scandal early on in his career. He was a member of the Gang of Eight, which was basically the 2013 amnesty bill that they tried to ram through the legislature, but John Boehner killed that bill. He's been a long-term globalist and neocon. And he actually, because he was an admiral's son and grandson, he graduated last in his class at the Naval Academy. And if he didn't have that pedigree, I don't think he would have been on that flight deck of the Forrestal.
Yeah, well, and that's what we were talking with Dick before the show, that there were some oddities in his past. I'm not going to go into them because I don't know what's fake news and what's not. But there were, I think, four planes that he crashed prior, not including the Forrestal incident. So we're going to take that out because I don't know what's real and what's not with that Forrestal. But it's an interesting read, and I would highly tell anybody, go ahead and look up the Forrestal incident. And Snopes calls it false, but I don't know.
I
don't trust Snopes at all anyway.
About the marriage thing, his first wife had forgiven him. Actually, they gave her a lot of money also, but she spoke well of him, and they remained friendly. The three of them remained friendly till his death. And he remarked at one point that it was a wrong thing of him to do, that he was just immature and that it was wrong of him to do what he did. So,
well, at least he admitted it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's good that she forgave him, but it also shows his impulsiveness through the years and him failing to look at the consequences of his actions.
Yeah, so, like meeting with terrorists in Syria. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say, I didn't plan on getting in and bashing John. Anything else, Alex?
Okay. No. I didn't either. Those are facts, and I just wanted them to be out there. I don't believe in bashing him. Nor do I believe in deifying him now.
Correct. So. Correct. Absolutely.
Well,
all right.
Nice talking to you guys.
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah, we'll
take
see
care.
Alex.
Bye-bye. Now let's take a call from Gary in Hazel Park. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hey, gentlemen. Hey, I have to agree with the last caller. Everybody has got their head so far up the dead John McCain's tuchus. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
This man is not the hero that they want to make him out to be. We in the military, in the aviation field of the military, when we're sitting around the ready rooms and talking about him on the flight deck, we're not telling people how great he is. We're talking about his actual history, his record of cracking up those planes, turning his back on his men. And apparently, it's very hard to, how shall we say, prove this, but the word is he did not suffer all those wounds in his arms through torture. It was through the crash. When he crashed his plane, when he was hot-dogging and off mission when he shouldn't have been there and got his butt shot down, that's what caused his arms to be screwed up, not torture. He was called Songbird McCain in certain circles because he was not the man they think he is in Hanoi. Now, I understand that this was decades ago, and it's going to be hard to prove or disprove, but this information needs to be put out there so people stop thinking that we should canonize this man.
Yeah, well, and you and I both know, Gary, if he were a Trump supporter, you wouldn't be canonizing him, he wouldn't be a hero, he wouldn't probably even be lying in state at this point. But because he is a big Trump hater, the elite in Washington, the Democrats in Washington, the media lionize him. And I don't believe that that is correct. I don't think he was that good a senator, frankly.
The whole Washington, D.C. funeral is out of place, I think, for a state senator.
And I'll tell you one thing, too. When I turned on the radio program this morning, I heard you talking. I jumped out of my chair and was dancing around my yard because I finally heard somebody talking the truth about McCain.
Wow. A satisfied customer.
One satisfied customer coming up. All right. Anything else, Gary?
You guys have a good time. I'm out here building a fence, so I'll talk to you later.
Take care, brother. Thanks.
Happy Labor Day.
Yeah. Well, it is Labor Day. So, you know, enjoy the weekend. Spend it with your families.
Yes.
Don't do anything silly and dumb like I sometimes do on holidays. But
that cuts out a lot of options. Now what am I going to do?
So I want to go into this. Now, the trade deal with Mexico, another win for us, as far as I'm concerned. Mexico came to the table, and it's not just the outgoing president, because they are kind of pushing to get this done. It sounds like the socialist president that's coming in, AMLO, is okay with this.
I'm not following this. I don't understand that. I'm skeptical. I'll be honest. I'm skeptical.
I understand, too.
I haven't heard the details. Somebody said all the tacos we want. I don't believe that.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what it is. AMLO's looking at Venezuela and saying, yeah, maybe I'm not going to push all this crazy socialist stuff like I would kind of my heart's telling me to, because you know what? The real life socialism is right there. Just a thousand miles away in Venezuela, where it used to be a beautiful, rich, wealthy country. They've still got all the oil in the world in Venezuela. And they can't get it out of the ground because why?
Because they're socialists.
Because they're socialist morons. Yeah. People are struggling. They're eating out of garbage cans. People are starving to death in Venezuela. Why? Because you went socialist.
Mm-hmm.
And all our dumb millennial kids who are being warped by the educational system and our university system here.
Che Guevara shirts.
Wearing Che Guevara shirts and pushing socialism. I saw something on the internet today that I don't know if it's true, but 70% of millennials, you saw this, you responded to the meme. 70% of millennials don't know about Auschwitz?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to ask my own son when I go home. Have they taught you anything in high school about World War II and the Holocaust or anything?
No, they'll tell you how bad America was in Vietnam.
I'm just flabbergasted that our educational system is not spending time on World War II era. World War II and one
are
pretty doggone important to the history of the world. How come nobody's talking about that?
When somebody like Cuomo can come out and say America never was great, go say that in Normandy to a French person there who would buy you a beer just because, or a glass of wine, just because you are American.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Let's take a call from Walter in Belleville. Walter, welcome to the show.
All right, man, here it come. I tell you what. Hey, man, by the way, I'm sick and tired of you guys just being on 1 hour, man. When it gets good, man, it's all time to go off. Mm. Oh, God, my goodness. You guys need to be on. If y'all can just get some of Hugh Hewitt's time, you know, reduce him down to 2 minutes, it ain't changed. He just needs a commentary. That guy is such a disaster. I mean, he's so wishy-washy and double-minded and unstable.
You mean the NBC guy, Hugh Hewitt?
Hugh Hewitt. Yeah. Well, he used to be on this station.
He used to be on this station.
Did we use him?
Yes, after Bennett. But then he just went after Michigan and he went after Trump. Yes, I miss Bill Bennett. Yeah,
I do too. Voice of Reason.
Bill Bennett, I liked him, but I'll take him over Hugh Hewitt any day, man.
Yeah.
Well, so, but Bill and I were friends. That's what I liked. I mean, you know.
He was a good guy.
Yeah.
I like him. Oh, he's still around. He's still around.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He still does his podcast.
Yeah. So what do you got, Walter?
John McCain.
Oh, here
man
we go.
Of the hour.
Forgive me, Lord.
Don't speak ill of the dead.
That's right. I'll repent tomorrow after my statement.
Right. Go ahead. Get it out. Vent.
Did you notice? The first class crooks at his memorial service. I looked at that camera scan. Scan to go out the audience. I seen Mr. High Gas Price, No Oil himself, Al Gore.
Oh yeah,
Mr. Global Warming himself.
Yeah, and the Bushes.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bushes.
Oh, yeah. Like Jesse Jackson, we're gonna have to revisit that statement. We didn't agree with it at the time because we was all in for Bush, but get out of the Bushes.
Yeah.
You know,
I wonder if George Soros came.
Yeah.
This is what I heard. I've heard excuses upon excuses, both from the and you know, some of the radio shows, including a local Christian station, giving kudos to John McCain and actually giving him excuses. Some guy, a politician, spoke up and said that his mom had brain cancer, the same kind that John McCain had. And this, which resulted in his decision-making and his actions toward Donald Trump, and also backstabbing Americans with the Obama-David care, health care.
Yeah, I won't buy that excuse. I won't buy that excuse because John McCain is a globalist, was a globalist, and his actions toward Trump were quite clear right from the get-go. He didn't want Trump coming in and cleaning swamp. He didn't want this whole America First thing to happen because McCain was a globalist, plain and simple. That's it. And that's why he hates Trump. That's why everybody hates Trump in Washington.
Okay. And he hated us. You know why? Let's take a trip down memory lane. When Trump was having his rallies, one of the first criticisms that John McCain directed toward the followers of Donald Trump, he labeled us, no different than what Hillary labeled us, he labeled us crazies.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
How many people have forgotten about that statement? This guy, it's the same guy, just his presence gave us Barack Obama. This is the same guy who was criticized and then lying on all those other Republicans that was on that ticket. And he never once criticized Osama, Omar, Rashid, Obama.
But he criticized Sarah Palin.
He never criticized him. He says, I'm going to run an honorable campaign. I'm in some of those townhouses. Yeah, they showed that one on TV about that lady asking him a question.
Well, like Ed said, he went ahead and disinvited Sarah Palin, his running mate, because you know he still wants to blame her. He's got to blame somebody, mm-hmm. right? So he's going to blame Sarah Palin for him losing. That John, you could never have won to begin with. It's that mm-hmm. simple. You just didn't inspire anybody. You weren't that much of a leader. But then I read another article that said even some of his longtime staffers weren't invited to the funeral. What? You're running out of space for all your globalist cronies?
Yeah. Listen, a man is known by the company he keeps. I'm going to tell you what. They can pass the buck on that brain cancer all they want to. It took time and effort and deep thought to pick out the people to be at his memorial. And he chose Mr. Crook Obama, who was, you know, all the evil things he did purposely.
Yeah.
And he was a occupier of the White House, as some people call him. To bring people like that on the national stage. And by the way, just like the scripture says in Isaiah 29, these people draw near me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. That's what Barack Obama did. His right word, wrong person.
Yeah, I hear you.
I've seen through the subtleties of what he was saying, he didn't mean not one word about America and everything else. And the only reason he was invited because John McCain joined sides with Judas, the Judas Company, and backstab Americans purposely and premeditatedly.
Yep.
I'm out of here.
Okay. All right. Well, take care, Walter. It was good hearing you for again. I got a whole bunch of
calls. Happy Labor Day.
Picking up here. All right. Have a good Labor Day. All right. Let's take a call from Tom in Detroit. Tom, welcome to the show.
Yeah. I was going to weigh in on John McCain before this, I hadn't heard all of the war stories, and he apparently was a man of real courage, and I that goes a long way with me for respect. You know, you can't have the land of the free without being brave. The other thing was when he voted no on repealing Obamacare. You know, I wish there was some way to know why he did that, because I would agree with him on voting no on the repeal. Just because, according to my studies, which are pretty in-depth for about 25 years, our present income tax is unconstitutional. I can back it up with the Supreme Court, words of the Supreme Court. And I'd love to debate anybody, although I'm not much of a debater, probably due to the multitude of concussions I've had. But, you know, the things I know.
Yeah.
And
We're going to do a show on that one of these days.
A direct tax and an indirect tax. And that's okay, go ahead. Yeah. I just wanted to get that in.
No, we're going to do that. We'll have to have you call into the show, Tom, because we're going to talk about health care eventually here. We've got to try and get to that. Maybe after the election we'll do that. Well, great call, Tom. Great comments. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care.
before we go on, I want to say something about McCain. You know, while Walter was talking, I got to remember, this is the guy that I was convinced at one time I wanted to be president of the United States when he was in primary against Bush, you know, the 2000 election. And, you know, you got to watch what you read, you know, weigh it out for yourself, because I'm sure there had to be some good stuff about the guy. You know, his former POW brethren speak very highly of him.
Yeah,
to me, that says something right there.
I've
heard other stories.
Yeah, my opinion of him is what he's done lately. I appreciate his service for whatever it was, and I've been one of his harshest critics, but it's recent stuff that I bother. Mm-hmm. Let's take a call from Jasmine in Chicago. Jasmine, welcome to the show. You want to talk about Lanny Davis?
Yeah, hi, guys. I actually wanted to talk about the fact that it seems to me that this wall-to-wall coverage of McCain and Aretha Franklin is just a way to, you know, take away from the fact that CNN and everybody else screwed up
and lied,
put on false stories, knowingly put on this false story, and instead of, you know, going and saying, hey, you know, we screwed up, let's just bombard them with McCain and Aretha Franklin, and they'll, you know, stupid liberals will just kind of, you know, move away, and, oh, there's no here.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. That's a good point, Jasmine, because I imagine that, yes, CNN didn't want to, because of the, the older reporter,
Bernstein,
yes. Right? Yes. So because of him, they wanted to cover up. They don't want to smirch his reputation. But you just flat out lied, folks. Mm-hmm. You flat out lied on television. You pushed the story out there, and it was a bunch of garbage. And Lanny Davis, shame on you, sir, for being a complete lying, pathetic POS.
Well, he did come out and say that.
He corrected himself.
Yeah, exactly. But why CNN won't do.
You're a lawyer, for crying out. Why would you lie publicly like that?
And I just have a question of why is he representing Michael Cohen? I would think he would be the worst person to represent Michael Cohen.
Because he's a Clintonista, and because Cohen's probably been bought off some way or another. You know, it's like Manafort. The IRS tried getting Manafort before. They couldn't. They tried repeatedly to get him on some of these charges. Didn't have enough gumption to get him. But once you put in Bob Mueller with unlimited resources to push and pressure and make things up, well, then all of a sudden we can get some guys show up and say enough to get Paul Manafort some prison time. And Cohen's the same way. They made him basically admit to something that's not even a crime.
Wait, did you just say Bob Woodward or Carl Bernstein?
Bernstein was the guy that I think CNN was trying to correct. I've heard Woodward's got something coming out, but I don't know what.
Yeah. Aren't they the same guy?
No. They're both libs, right? Put it that way, maybe. How's that?
Yeah. Well, I know we're in trouble when Dan Rather comes out and talks crap.
Yeah,
because I'm like, Dan Rather is like a dinosaur that refuses to die.
Yes, absolutely. Another phony journalist who lost his job for what?
Lying.
Yes. Well, great call, Jasmine. I appreciate you calling in.
No problem.
All right. Take care.
See ya.
Bye. All right. And there's the end of the show already.
Walter's right. We need 2 hours.
We need another hour. It'd be nice to get through. Anyways, until next week, folks, go to thedailydrift.com for the news.
You need to know.
And make sure you visit our current advertisers. Go to COURANT Online, currentonline.com. All right. See you next week. Bye.